Welcome to History's 110 podcast. I'm Keely Pierce, and today I'll be talking about the trial and execution of Mary Surratt. In April of 1865, the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, was assassinated. Upon further investigation into the murder, it was discovered that Lincoln's assassin, Mr. John Wilkes Booth, did not act alone. Because the assassination of Lincoln was considered a military crime, Mrs. Mary E. Surratt and the other alleged conspirators were tried before a military commission in a martial court, as opposed to a jury of their peers. Mary Surratt, the mother of John and Anna Surratt, was charged with receiving, entertaining, harboring, and concealing, aiding, and assisting the conspirators, as well as with having prior knowledge of the conspiracy. As a woman who owned a boarding house, Mary Surratt was considered a liminal figure. Not quite a part of the male public sphere, but not entirely within the female private sphere, Mary Surratt and her boarding house were part of a new urban world where people came together to share secrets. Considering how Mary Surratt was portrayed during and immediately after the trial in 1865, and how she is seen today in the media, what does the trial and eventual execution of Mary Surratt tell us about a woman's place in post-Civil War America? The testimony during the trial of Mary Surratt revealed two key portrayals of the woman behind the veil: a new woman and a true woman. For instance, Louis Weichmann, a boarder of Mrs. Surratt's and classmate of John Surratt, whose testimony for the prosecution would later clinch Mary Surratt's fate, described Mrs. Surratt as a woman unafraid of damage to her reputation of chastity.
John Wilkes Booth called there frequently. In the absence of John H. Surratt, he would call for Mrs. Surratt.
When John Wilkes Booth did call on Mrs. Surratt, Weichmann testified, he would often
go upstairs and engage in private conversation, which would sometimes last 2 or 3 hours.
As the gentleman on the martial court knew, no true lady would stay up late with the gentleman visiting her house, let alone accompany him upstairs into the privacy of a bedroom. By doing this, Mrs. Surratt disregarded any true woman ideals concerning her chastity and reputation. Contrastingly, however, the defense presented a different side of Mary Surratt, that of the true woman, with the virtues of piety, purity, submissiveness, and domesticity. Witnesses for the defense spoke to her character. Her brother, J.Z. Jenkins, spoke to her abilities as a hostess, representative of domesticity.
I have known her frequently to give milk, tea, and such refreshments as she had in her house to Union troops when they were passing. Sometimes she received pay for it, at other times she did not.
The most powerful presence in Mary Surratt's defense, however, was her counsel, Frederick Aiken, whose reputation as a lawyer would diminish after the trial. Later the first city editor of the Washington Post, Aiken's impassioned rhetoric not only denies Mary Surratt's intimacy with Booth and the rest of Weichmann's testimony, but also begs the Marshall Counsel to
remember your wives, mothers, sisters, and gentle friends, whose graces, purity, and careful affection ornament and cherish and strengthen your lives.
Yet overwhelmingly, the prosecution's portrayal of Mary Surratt as a new woman bled through into the press. Whenever Mary Surratt was depicted in the press during the trial of 1865, she was viewed as an enigma. Wearing a black veil during the trial, depictions of her circulating through newspapers and books showed her face almost always covered by a black veil. Among members of the public, rumors about Mary Surratt began circulating as portrayed in the film The Conspirator.
Is it true Mrs. Surratt is a Catholic and wears black from head to toe?
I heard she spits in the faces of every Union soldier she encounters.
Apparently, she wears a necklace made from the bone of a Union soldier.
On and on it went until the verdict was delivered. Mrs. Surratt to be hung, declared the New York Times in July of 1865. In a photograph which circulated immediately following the execution of the conspirators, Mary Surratt is again portrayed as a notorious riddle, her face shrouded beneath a large umbrella. Similarly, photographs depicting the swinging bodies of the hanged conspirators were circulated during this time, with Mary Surratt identifiable only by the folds of her dress on the far left. This 19th century fascination with the morbid and the mysterious followed Mary Surratt, much like Mary Rogers, into her death itself, which became a public spectacle. Nearly 150 years after the assassination of Lincoln and the deaths of the conspirators, Mary Surratt still occupies a place in the American mind. In 2010, Robert Redford directed the film The Conspirator, starring Robin Wright as Mary Surratt and James McAvoy as Frederick Aiken. The film portrayed Mary Surratt in part as a martyr. Presumed guilty and tried before a jury of generals with no hope of an appeal, Mary Surratt died a year before the Supreme Court unanimously ruled that citizens were entitled to a trial by jury, even in times of war. 5 jurors in the trial of Mary Surratt later recommended clemency in a letter to President Andrew Johnson, who claimed he had never seen it. What the conspirator does well, however, beyond keeping Mary Surratt alive, is providing her with her own voice.
I am a Southerner, I am a Catholic and a devoted mother above all else, but I am no assassin.
Whether or not Mrs. Mary E. Surratt was involved with the conspiracy to assassinate Lincoln is up for debate. But why should we, as Americans, care about the fate of this one woman? For starters, Mary Surratt was a symbol of the American justice system in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War. She was not presumed innocent, proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, nor tried by a jury of her peers, and yet she was convicted and was sentenced as the first woman in United States history to hang for her crime. Importantly, like Mary Rogers, Mary Surratt was a symbol for women of her time. She was an enigmatic mystery, a new woman or a true woman. Mary Surratt's unique position in the public sphere shows us, as modern historians, that despite the advances of the early 19th century, in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, women were still expected to be true women and moral mothers. With even a hint of impropriety and newfangled modernity, new women, like Mary Surratt, who owned boarding houses and entered into the public sphere, were condemned by society and sentenced to the figurative noose.